Before we resume our study, we will pause for a few moments of silent prayer. You may use the time for rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for yet another opportunity to continue our pursuit of truth. It is our prayer that as we concentrate, the Holy Spirit will instruct us. And we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Weldon mentioned the activities that have been going on at Media Ministries, and I do want to pause for a moment to salute some people. The one who has made the transition over to the cloud, as it's called, has put in endless hours in that transition. And that, of course, is Paul Davey. And there were others involved, as well as Mike Vest and Dennis Norris and Dana Schott. They have all logged extra time in order to make the transition. The reason that this transition is important is because it takes a lot of the responsibilities technologically away from the church and pushes it over to a group of people who function in what is called the cloud. And so we send the signal out from this building, and they do all the rest. We have had about 20 years of doing this, either audio and video of late, a couple of 3 years on video. And it's all been held together by scotch tape and baling wire. And how Paul and some of his other technicians have pulled this off is nothing short of a miracle. But we now are in a good position to where the videos that go out will be of high quality. But there was a transition period, and of course Paul has been working hard on that with the other three that I've just mentioned as well. But this is in association with two new websites. The GDC website is gdconline.org, and the Media Ministries is joegriffin.org. And they're getting compliments on how easy it is to work through the new sites. It is a transition period. A lot of things are going on to get everything up to speed, so patience is requested as they do this, but they're almost done with it. So I just wanted to salute those people that have been very, very busy, especially, I would say, over the last 18 months making this transition. And so those of you who are midweek Doritos, those are the people who have made this transition possible. Of course, the grace offerings to both ministries by those of you who have contributed, those outside the church, I assume Doritos had some part in that as well. We had plenty of money to make the transition, but in the long run, according to Rick Sherrill, the man who is a money changer, tells us that once the transition is done, expenses for both sites will go down significantly over time. There was a lot of maintenance that had to be done to hold the other things together, but now the people who manage this, wherever this cloud place is, it's their responsibility to keep all the equipment up and running. So I salute them, and we now continue our study. We are in document. Well, applause well earned. Thank you for that, for those people. We're in document 26 on page 255, and we left off at point 11. Here's how it reads. What we otherwise discern from this verse is that the soul is located in the body, and to function, it must coordinate with the brain. For the advancing believer, it is imperative that the body be physically able to sustain concentration on the teaching of Bible doctrine. And so when you come to church, you need to be well fed. And you need to be well clothed in the wintertime. That's hard to do, at least for me. And so you come here with the, you've made the decisions and the preparations necessary so that when you sit down, you can concentrate on the teaching of the Word of God. So for the presentation of the gospel to be understood, it requires the unbeliever to have the mental clarity to possess incoming information from which a decision can therefore be reached. Now remember, you've got the law of freedom, which is volition. Volition is free. It means that you can use it to say yes or no to any incoming data, And that, of course, would include the communication of the Word of God. Unbelievers are destitute spiritually. They have no redeeming qualities with regard to their inventory of ideas. There is an exception. It's called establishment viewpoint. An establishment has to be maintained in a society so that freedom to move about and do your duties and carry on a normal life is possible. The loss of establishment viewpoint in a client nation ultimately creates chaos, and we're seeing this emerge in our society. People with power lust do not like it when they lose their power. And when they do, they pitch fits. And they do everything possible to tear down whatever system has emerged to rob them of their power. So there's nothing unusual going on in the country other than the fact it is detrimental to the peace and prosperity of the Commonwealth. And so these people that are all upset right now because of a system that was established by our Constitution 241 years ago, this system has produced an outcome that was assumed by many that it was guaranteed that they would be able to continue their process of moving our country toward totalitarianism. And I mean that seriously. We have a corrupt government. There are many people in our government who are honest, hardworking people and doing wonderful work every day. But those at the higher echelons in the various areas of our government are corrupt. And therefore, we need to pray for that, that these people will be brought to task and that the Lord and His wisdom would guide us through this. But we are free today because of what others have done over almost 242 years, almost July. And so with that freedom, we come here to study the Word of God. And we understand that unbelievers are destitute spiritually. And it's the loss of biblical thought that has led us to this moment, because what we're seeing is assassination by disinformation. And I do not mean literally and literally assassination. I mean to destroy the power of those who are in legitimate authority. And it's assassination by disinformation. And when you have studied doctrine long enough, as you have, you can tell when people are advancing a hidden agenda, when they obviously are communicating information that is not true, and that's but purposefully so. That's called disinformation, to keep telling the lie and tell it so many times that people accept it as true. Now, the communists developed that system during its reign from 1917 up until the 90s. And it works for them. You can propagandize an entire population by just constantly communicating the lie until everybody accepts it as the truth. And so figuratively, you have an assassination by disinformation in this country by using the same tactics and techniques. Some unbelievers are destitute physically and mentally. This combination requires the latter situation to be resolved before the former can have a hope of being effectively addressed. And so the intended effectiveness is for the unbeliever to have clarity of thought when hearing the gospel in order to make an objective decision. See, the law of freedom allows a person to make an independent decision regarding incoming information. And if the incoming information is the gospel, they have a right under the concept of free will to make a decision, yea or nay. It's their choice. Therefore, you can't propagandize and browbeat someone for making their own choice. You give them doctrinal information, that obviously being doctrine associated with salvation. Some people will respond positively, others will do so negatively. This is the result of the law of freedom. The unbeliever is a free agent and has the option to accept or reject the gospel message. Therefore, your evangelism should be preceded by prayer, that the Father would provide the environment necessary for objective hearing of the gospel. And He knows those who will be saved, those who will respond positively, and He knows the ones that won't. You don't. And so you have the opportunity and the obligation to communicate the gospel where opportunities arise, and therefore you need to give some thought about how you would present the gospel. In the context in which we're now noting, presenting the gospel would not have been a good idea in the case of the man we're noting. He was not prepared to give the gospel, nor should he have done so. His first order of duty was to go get them some clothes and get them well fed. And in the process of doing that, he would have shown grace to these people. Grace would have therefore prepared these individual souls to give him an objective hearing. And therefore, after being fed and clothed, then he could have then presented them the gospel, and hopefully it would have been an objective presentation, and therefore the souls of these two people could have responded. Now, the body can have a negative effect on the soul, therefore. Keep that in mind. When these circumstances occur, it can often lead to negative volition when the gospel is presented because the body's deficiencies are not addressed first. And that is the circumstance we see going on in our passage in James 2. So by commanding the couple to go, be warm, be filled, James concludes the verse by asking the question, what use is that? The word use is the noun ophelos, advantage. What advantage is that? And therefore, here's the expanded translation of the verse, James 2:16. If a believer should say to a couple who are unbelievers, go in peace, halak shalom, halak shalom. See, it's repeated. Be warm and be filled. But you do not provide for them what is necessary for the body. What advantage is that? Have some visuals that I'd like to show at this point. This is going to be an analysis of the souls of these two people. What goes on in their mind? See, the law of freedom says they have free will. They can make their own decision. Incoming data is analyzed. They're free to respond as they please. So you have the essence of the soul. Therefore, there's going to be an awareness of things going on around you. If nothing's wrong with your brain, then you have awareness. You know who you are and what's going on. You have a mentality. You have the noose for receptive comprehension. That is where you analyze incoming data and make a decision about what you think about it. And you have the cardia, that's perceptive comprehension, that says, I understand that and I believe it. Then you have free will, that's the law of freedom. And their volition has the power to make decisions. The conscience has to do with norms and standards. And so in our society, for example, there are a lot of people who do not have what I would call establishment norms and standards. They're self-centered, they have power lust, and they want everybody to come and do their bidding for them in the way that they dictate. And if this doesn't happen, they pitch a fit. So the conscience has norms and standards, and when the norms and standards never develop or are destroyed by disinformation, then you have a problem. It also needs to be pointed out that emotion is not part of the soul. Emotion comes from the body. And so this statement, therefore, addresses that issue. Emotion is not a part of the soul essence, but the result of the function of the human soul. The function of the soul. It's not part of the soul. The soul can produce good or bad emotions. The former from the stream of consciousness, or the latter from the sin nature. Now we take a look at this. Essence of the soul, emotional revolt. How will the couple respond? Okay, Should the gospel have been presented lucidly to these people, how could they respond? You have soul essence, which we've noted. You have body, sin nature, with lust patterns, character traits, and lifestyle. That controls soul essence. These individuals would have the option to make a choice, and therefore, if the body is controlling their thought process, then emotions would respond negatively as the soul receives information regarding the gospel. Over here, we have the essence of the soul mechanics. We have soul essence here, and the soul is controlling what goes on with the body. Therefore, kept under control would be the sin nature, its lust patterns, character traits, behavior patterns, and lifestyle, and therefore emotions are suppressed. Back over here, emotions run the show. That comes from the body. Over here, you have emotions under control, and that is where you have positive volition. Now, with that in mind, let's take a note now at the problem of operational death. That's what you have with the man who is in our picture here, the man who has been approached by these people for food and clothing, and then, of course, the two people involved. So James 2:17, even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. All right. That verse has destroyed theology for many people. There are churches in this town who look at verses such as this and say that if you don't do the works we assign to you, you are not saved. You can't do a work that's approved of by God and the Holy Spirit unless you are saved. You know that. I know it. But others are being propagandized as we speak here in churches around St. Louis, and especially in the mysteries of the Church of Rome. Going on, I guess, I don't know when those people go to church. I understand they can avoid getting up early on Sunday mornings by going on Saturday night. That's okay, I got that right. You're nodding your head. And so they lay out on Sunday morning. There are others who have made it to these big fancy churches and are having the pastor stand in the pulpit and tell them, we're going to have a meeting Wednesday night, a prayer meeting, and we're going to organize a works trip. And the works trip will be explained to you later. This verse in the English is a dangerous verse. Not so in the Greek. Okay. It is personal faith in the veracity of biblical principles that allows the Holy Spirit to retain biblical thought in the believer's soul, specifically in his stream of consciousness. Here's a visual that you know well. Let's take a look at this. Let's pretend that we're going to be viewing this exchange between the man and the two people, the man and the woman. Now, the pastor's not involved here. The man is. He's going to communicate information. Were he to do so, and then the Holy Spirit would pick up that communication, and the Holy Spirit would capture that for these people and function as a human spirit. It would make the gospel comprehensive to them, and it would arrive in the nous as academic understanding, where they would then consider the information. Faith alone in Christ alone. Okay? That would be gnosis. In other words, that's academic understanding on a human level. They're unbelievers. And therefore, this would be common grace. It's common grace when you hear biblical information and it's made clear to you academically. That's gnosis. They have the option to concur with the information, positive volition, or to contradict the information and say, that's not true, I don't believe that. If they concur, positive volition, then that is called efficacious grace. Common grace, the ability to understand it through the power of the Holy Spirit functioning as a human spirit. And over here, efficacious grace, which means the Holy Spirit's communication to these individuals was clearly understood because he's functioning as a human spirit, making the issue clear. And after making the issue clear, they say, I believe that. They concur with information. Efficacious grace. That's positive volition. That means everything's moved over to the cardia. They have, therefore, spiritual understanding of the fact that they're saved through their free will decision. That's cognition of divine thought, and that's epinosis. Epi meaning a knowledge beyond that which is capable for the human mind. And the epi, therefore, says it's information that can only be understood by a believer in Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, which is the case in this case, because we've seen that develop. And so that's cardia. That's where you have the stream of consciousness we just noted. And therefore, there is compliance with this when they make positive volition decisions regarding their spiritual growth. The cerebral cortex, long-term memory, this is in the brain. Trachea is the concept for wheel tracks facilitated, and they are of righteous standards. Over time, the application of these things builds confidence in the soul with regard to their spiritual growth. So to repeat point one again, it is personal faith in the veracity of biblical principles that allows the Holy Spirit to retain thought in the believer's soul, specifically in his stream of consciousness. However, doctrine retained does not become active unless it is made operational by personal volition. So you can be saved, but you reject the incoming teachings of the Word of God for whatever the reason. You don't understand, that's fine. Keep coming back. You'll gather information systematically over time. Then things will make better sense for you as you gain an inventory that can evaluate what's being taught. Those who know a lot of doctrine but do not consistently apply it, that's a problem. They suffer from periods of operational death. That's living outside the bubble. They are living in the devil's world. They're thinking devil's world because they're not filled with the Spirit and they're not growing in grace. In fact, there is a downslide in their ability to recall doctrine over time. However, doctrine retained does not become active unless it is made operational by personal volition. So you have to not only believe it, you have to believe it's powerful enough to apply. You believe the Holy Spirit is not going to teach you the lie. All you're going to get from Him is the truth. The Word of God is alive and powerful. And God is going to protect His Word and advance His Word wherever it is found, including your soul. Those who know a lot of doctrine but do not consistently apply it suffer from periods of operational death. It is the application of the Word of God that facilitates its principles into paths of least resistance. That means facilitation. It means you're taking concepts and ideas that used to be typical of your behavior pattern as an unbeliever or a misguided believer, and you're exchanging these erroneous thoughts for biblical thoughts that come to you under positive volition, and you continue to make good volitional choices regarding those concepts. It facilitates this whole concept. Here's the facilitation is right here. When it gets down here, have long-term memory, wheel tracks of righteousness. Facilitation means I have a behavior pattern I used to have as an unbeliever. I have developed it even farther as a believer without doctrine. This is me. This is who I am. But, oh, wait a minute. I was in church the other night because I've decided to go more than once every now and then. I've decided to go regularly. And I show up and I hear this doctrine taught. And this dude keeps mentioning this concept, this idea, this principle, this doctrine. Therefore, I've decided to try it. And lo and behold, it worked. And I've decided to try it again. Oh, wait, I forgot. But I go back and he says it again, and he says it again. And you decide, I'm going to apply this. It's make good sense to me. And the Holy Spirit's therefore got a hold of your thought process. And you decide, that's a policy I'm going to have to adopt. And so over a period of time, you see as you apply that it works for you because it's alive and powerful. And so you facilitate that. It becomes a path of least resistance, and it becomes who you are. And therefore, you've pushed away the old wheel track. You've got a new one that now you utilize because that is who you are. The other ideas are sloughed away. So with that idea, it is the application of the Word of God that facilitates its principles into paths of least resistance. That means you come to Bible class as often as the doors open. And over 4,000 lessons are on both the websites. Just so you know. Applying biblical principles fulfills the proclamation found in Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is alive and it is powerful. And if that's true, if there's power in the Word, and there is, if it is alive in the sense that it is active, the Word of God is active and it's powerful, you have access to it, when you make yourself available to it through positive volition and therefore facilitate it by performing that particular concept in your daily decision making, it becomes who you are. And God honors His Word wherever it is found, including your soul. All legitimate production in the Christian's life is only possible by knowledge of doctrinal concepts applied under the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. All else is human good which can decline into evil. Christians are involved in evil because they do not know that what they're thinking is erroneous with regard to the Word of God. They've done it all their lives. That's how they were trained. That's what they know. That's what they do. Until the Bible changes the way you think, that's who you are. And therefore, you can be growing in grace and acquiring concepts and ideas, facilitating them and make application in your life. But there are other things that you have not addressed yet. You have not learned from the Word of God. That's what you've always done. That's what you do. And it is erroneous. And you say to me, well, whoa, we're not making any progress here. Yes, you are. We are fallen people. We have sin natures and we use them. We have concepts and ideas about how we think things ought to be that are not biblical. But when you come into the Christian way of life, the only doctrine you know is that if you die, you don't go to the lake of fire in the future. You, when you die, you will be face to face with the Lord. You're saved. What next? What next, Pastor Guy? Just keep coming back. You get a little bit here and you get a little bit there. Are you positive? Just take four or five things that have been taught over, say, the course of a month. Just four or five. And resolve in your mind, I'm going to make that some kind of a test. I'm going to apply these concepts. I'll try to do it for a month and see how it plays out. Those that are positive grow rapidly. Those who are positive to the Word of God get to the point they understand that the God of this universe is in control of everything, including you. He has a system that does this. The system is called the truth. The truth is going to trump the lie every time. And if you get involved in going back to old behavior patterns, although saved, there's going to be discipline involved. Discipline out of vengeance? No. Discipline out of guidance? Yes. No, not that way. Remember, it's this way. Go over here, pull this into your behavior pattern, pull this volitional trigger. Things will be better for you because my word is going to be magnified every time. If you use it, then you're going to be magnified, at least to that degree. To repeat, all legitimate production in the Christian's life is only possible by knowledge of doctrinal concepts applied under the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. So that's an imperative. All else is human good and can decline into evil. Although the believer who functions under the Spirit's power may produce divine good, the power is in the veracity of the Word, not the physical energy of the believer. It's all grace. You take credit for nothing other than thank you, Jesus. The advanced believer under the power of the Spirit should consider himself a conduit of divine power released into the scrum of the angelic conflict. And it is a scrum. Tomorrow the scrum begins again for many of you. You'll get up, you'll have your ablution, you'll get dressed, and you'll go to whatever job you have. And there those people are. They came back yet again. Then there are customers. Even if you're in retail, there's a customer that comes in. Some people are pleasant, some people not. Some people try to steal your stuff. Some people just good to pay for it. There are evil people in the world. That's a norm, understood. So when these things occur, you're not upset, taken back, like how can this possibly happen? It's the devil's world and people are thieves. Or not. the advanced believer under the power of the Spirit should consider himself a conduit of divine power released in the scrum of the angelic conflict. We are warriors who are making the advance in the Lord's phalanx. We are trained by the Holy Spirit. We learn to use the artillery contained in the divine armory of ideas. And the armory is the Bible. These are ideas from on high. We can therefore withdraw from the armory those ordinances that are necessary for us to get through the day. And so the weapons found there are for personal, internal, and external application into the devil's world. The Holy Spirit is the drill sergeant. We are combatants in the Lord's army. The crisis that plagues Christendom today is the failure to function under the enabling power of the Holy Spirit through application of Bible doctrine residence in the souls of the saved. There's where the power is. I'm not good at numbers, but let's just say that there's double figures here today. Double figures. If everybody in this group right here bought in to this idea unflinchingly, beginning right now, and I'm not saying that you aren't already, but I'm saying if you continue to do so, how about that? That has a very positive impact in the invisible war. God takes care of His Word wherever it is found. If it is in your soul, then it is protected, it is aggrandized, and there's blessings associated with it. And one of the major ones is to keep the client nation screwed together for a while longer yet. Nevertheless, this predicament has produced the problem of operational death due to a breakdown of the spiritual mechanics of believers who drift off, spin off, decide to go back to where they were. They get upset, irritated. You never get upset and irritated. It's the devil's world. Any time you run into a circumstance and you think, how can this happen? Well, it happens because this is the devil's world. We're here to have a positive impact against that. But Lucifer runs this show. You say, well, God. No, this is the angelic conflict. He's turned us loose to be witnesses for the prosecution in the resolution of the angelic war and rebellion. So you're in a war, soldier for Christ. So don't get upset about what's going on, but ask yourself the question, how can I have a positive impact on what's going on around me? I'm a soldier for Christ. I've got the Word of God. I have the artillery to fire the weaponry. The Word of God is alive and powerful. So again, this predicament has produced the problem of operational death due to a breakdown of the spiritual mechanics of believers. Failure to understand the doctrine, the basic doctrine of the filling of the Holy Spirit, is what allows this operation to occur. Associated with this failure is the inability to process doctrine into the soul's cardia. That's negative volition. Some know some doctrine, but its intrinsic power cannot be applied if the Holy Spirit is not the catalyst behind the application. That's inside the bubble stuff. Easily popped. Just a mental attitude sin. Dark side. Yes, it was. So sometimes do you just rebound because you figure, well, I've screwed up somewhere, I don't know, maybe I better clear it. Some know some doctrine, but its intrinsic power cannot be applied if the Holy Spirit is not the catalyst behind the application. All production in the believer's life is dependent upon an inventory of biblical truth and its application under the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. Human energy, enthusiasm, and action or nalprost by the absence of the Spirit's guidance and power. You can be gung-ho for Jesus. Talk about Jesus all the time. Jesus this, Jesus that. Yet, have no clue you're out of fellowship. And you say, well, how can a guy on fire for the Lord be out of fellowship? Because you don't know how to be filled with the Spirit. Nothing is going on spiritually in your life if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. There is a mandate. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. And it says, it's oddly to some of us, in that verse it says, don't be involved with the spirits. Don't be involved with the spirits. You know, if you want to relax at the end of a hard day, you drink some spirits. That's what Paul's talking about, some spirits. I'm trying to wonder if I need to exegete that. But maybe y'all just being shy. But nevertheless, he said, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Get the Spirit of God functioning in your soul. You can relax with the spirits, filled with the Holy Spirit, or not. But if that is a mandate, and if it puts you inside the bubble so that you have power to execute the Word of God in the hostile environment of the devil's world, then that's where you need to be. Well-intentioned good works are neutralized by the fact that energy of the flesh can only produce human good and its protege, evil. Or, if you prefer, evil. Note the footnote. This is footnote 3. The protege. One who is protected or trained or whose career is furthered by a person of experience, prominence or influence. Okay. Human good, therefore, has a protege. Human good trains evil. This occurs when a believer is in the throes of emotional revolt, a subject eloquently discussed by R.B. Thiem Jr. in his book, Reversionism. Well, there are 4 paragraphs I've stolen from the Colonel and put into the notes here. 4 paragraphs. And there's a big footnote involved. And it's 22. And I'm taking the midweek off. Going to the ball game Wednesday night with Ryan and Andy, and Shannon has to come. So she's here too. So I won't be here midweek. I'll be at Bush. But I'll be back next Sunday. And so what you can do, all you very positive Volition people, you can get the Reversionism book over yonder and read the whole thing by next Sunday. Or you can peruse these 4 paragraphs and you'll be good to go come next Sunday morning. Father, we thank you for the opportunity and privilege of studying these things today. It is our prayer that the power of your word will encourage and motivate us to continue our pursuit of truth and the access of it for application in our daily lives. And we lift our prayer of gratitude in the name of Christ, our Savior. Kares human kai irene, plethunthae in epinosai, tu theu kai, iesu tu kuriu himon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your power and your love for us forever and ever. Amen. We'll now stand and sing, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Shall we stand as we sing?